All right, 2 Timothy 3, let's go there tonight. If you're able to stand, please do so in love and respect for the Word of God. Paul, of course, talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. We're going to start in verse 14. Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, I know you have heard these verses hundreds of times. You may have them memorized, or as I like to say, you may have them mesmerized. Okay, just like I say when people graduate, they graduate. I like making up words. It's fun. But the Bible says that this is the formula for the Christian. Isn't it explained in verse 17? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's the culmination, yes? So how do we get to that point? Well, it's by the Word of God. Have you ever heard someone say, "What is that to you?" You know, what is it? What, or maybe in a connotation of sorts, you know, what's it to you? Right? Somebody saying, well, you know, you say something about somebody else and they say, "Well, what's it to you?" Well, it's a big deal. You know, this thing of what's going on in our country. What's it to you? Well, I'm an American. I'm not for all this stuff going on in our country right now. That's what it is to me. And listen, you say, "Well, who are you?" Well, I'm a veteran. I served in our country's military. That's who I am. So I think I have a little say-so in what goes on in this country. And so do you. So it's something to me. But I want to ask this question to you just in a little bit of a different light. What's it to you? What it am I talking about? This it. What is this to you? It's just a book? Or is it, you know, say, "Yeah, it's the Word of God." Yeah? We'll see how much it is to you by the time we get done tonight. This is kind of a elementary type message in so many ways, shapes, or form. But aren't the simplest things the things often forgotten? Aren't the simplest things the things we often just kind of, that's right. You know, it comes back to you so quickly. Just a funny story over the weekend, Friday night and Saturday, we had a wedding rehearsal and a wedding at Trinity Baptist Church. And you say, "Well, what'd you have to do with that?" Well, before I became pastor here or even knew I was going to be pastor here, I was asked to be the sound man for this wedding. So I consented to do such, and my wife was playing for it anyways. These are kids that we know and love and so proud of them. But I haven't been in the sound booth since November 29th. Okay, now, it may not be a big deal to you, okay? But there's a lot of things to remember, a lot of little things. You know, like a little push of a button here and a little flip of a switch there and a little this and a little that throughout the procedure of a service. You may not understand that, but just ask Brother Losey sometime, okay? He'll tell you. Now, listen, I was up there and I looked at Brother Lassiter. We were getting ready for the rehearsal and I said, "Hope I remember how to do this." But it came back to me slowly and I forgot a few things I gotta push this button. I gotta turn this on. I gotta do that. You know, cause I just hadn't done it for
almost 2 months. You know that, and honestly, I didn't sit at home and say, okay, now I got to remember how to do a sound procedure. No, I didn't even think about it. I'm a little too busy for that right now. Okay, it wasn't even on my radar. And see, when I got back into what I was looking for, or what I was trying to do, it kind of came back to me in pieces. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? So sometimes the simplest things, the things that are just what you might call a no-brainer, are often some of the most difficult things for us to do. So it's no surprise to me that this book, or the, if we'll call it the it, of the what is it to you concept, it's no surprise to me that it's often forgotten. It's no surprise to me that it's often set aside and not opened or not thought of or not used on a regular basis. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, therefore, it can be wrongly divided, can't it? And so, you understand how complex this thing is. And you've heard me say before that I believe that no human mind can completely exhaust this book. I really believe that. Because I just know my mind. I might read something 1 year and forget about it and not remember it again until 5 years later. You know, it just is that way. You know, and so we have revelation. Brother Dart, I appreciate you sharing with me that thought you had on Sunday. You know, it's like, he's like, preacher, I've read through this and I never realized that it said that. And we come to those realizations all the time. So just in setting up a foundation for this thought, go through a checklist in your life. Go through an evaluation of yourself. And ask yourself, what is it to me, this old book? What is it to me, the Word of God? What is it to me? So let's see what Paul says to Timothy about this book and what it is to him. Look in verse 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we know and understand that it's our spiritual foundation. The Word of God is our spiritual foundation. How did you know about salvation until you heard from this book? How? You didn't. Okay? It's the foundation. It's the starting point. It's where we begin. We have a saying that all matters of faith and practice are on the foundation of this old King James Bible. Okay? All matters of faith and practice. How do I know what kind of church to have? This book. How do I know how to live my life? This book. How do I know what the way to what the way to heaven and salvation is? This book. How do I know what God wants? This book. How do I know what God doesn't want me to do? This book. It's it. You know, why do we dress the way we dress? Why do we do the things we do? Why do we look the way we look? Why do we say the things we say? Why do we gather together the way we gather together? Because of this book. It's our spiritual foundation. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, isn't it amazing that of all the things that God did, he chose us to spread the word of God throughout the world. He did. He could have done anything he wanted to. Remember the verse in the Bible that talks about if they would have been quiet, the rocks would have cried out. Remember that? He could have chosen the rocks. Couldn't you imagine? Wouldn't that be funny? You're walking down the parking lot here, and all of a sudden the rock says, Jesus saves.
Ye must be born again. Look and live, my brother, live.
You know, okay, it's funny to me, I don't know. Just the idea of rocks talking, I mean, come on. Right? But could he have done that? Oh, yes, he could have. But did he? No, he chose us. He chose us. And ye shall be witnesses. We've talked about that many, many times. In Matthew 5:17, in 18, it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He said, this book's going to last. It's going to stand. This foundation is going to be secure in your life. So it's what we stand on. It's our spiritual foundation. And Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Yeah. You know, I'm reminded that the verse says, heaven and earth, right? Shall pass away. Not this old book. Not the word of God. It's forever. It's settled in heaven forever. Isn't that what it says? Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. It is. God says his word endureth forever. But in 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. No matter how hard people try to debunk the Bible, no matter how hard people try to change the Bible, there are over 300 versions of the Bible. Yeah. Over 300. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. What's Satan trying to do? Water down the pot? Yeah, he is. He's trying to trick people, confuse people. Give somebody else something to go after. Hey, listen. It's not watered down. This is still the real deal. This is still the foundation where we stand. We stand on the Word of God. You know the Sunday school song. We've talked about it before, right? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. And, you know, we have to have a foundation. You say, Brother Combs, you're talking to the cornerstone people of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I know I am. I know I am. And talking to God, I'm thinking, God, I don't need to say this to these people. They already know all this. They probably know it better than I do. But listen, we all need to be reminded of things. Now, listen. When we're talking about a foundation to settle our life upon. Look at my hand. My hand is resting upon the foundation of this book. What's the proximity of my hand and the book? Yeah, real close. What's that? Real close. When we talk about a foundation in our life, something that's real close. I mean, listen, I'm glad my house is setting firmly on the foundation that it was built on. Right? I think if it wasn't, I would be disappointed. You know what I'm saying? Right? Well, we recently had the foundation fixed over here on this side of the building, I believe. And, that needed some, because the building was coming away from the foundation. That's a bad thing. Hey, folks. Get in my way. It's a bad thing. Our proximity to the Bible. We know it's our foundation. We'll stand and tell everybody, yeah, that King James Bible, it's God's Word. It's the truth. It's a living book. It's a real book. It's And it's my foundation. But I haven't read it in a week. Well, but I haven't looked at it in a month. Well, the last time I heard from it was when the preacher said something. Oh, I'm just being real. We all have our times of that. I do. You do. We all do. Where? My house gets a little bit off the foundation. And it needs to be reset. Because it's supposed to be in proximity to it. Supposed to be right up against it. Close to it. Hey, folks, listen. I'm just asking you. Evaluate where you are in proximity to your foundation. The Word of God. Paul told Timothy to continue in the things that he had learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child he knew all these things. He said, Timothy, don't leave it behind. Don't leave it aside. Now, let's look at the second thing. So not only is it my spiritual foundation where I stand, and am I in close proximity to it, but what is my direction? You know, the Word of God is a compass. It's a guide. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The statutes of the Lord are right. We talked about this in Psalm 19. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In 2 Peter 1:19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Hey, this book's a compass. It's a foundation of where we base our life upon, right? And we should be in close proximity to it, but it's also a guide. It's a compass for our life. Where are we going? Which way are we going? What direction are we going? Can I tell you something, folks? Christians are not going closer and closer to God or drawing nigh to God as they should. Okay? If they were, this building would be full. We'd have to build another one. You understand that? Okay? The Bible tells us we're fighting a losing battle. Did you know that? Huh? As the approaching of the coming of the Son of Man, right? As Jesus comes, the day of the Lord, right? You understand that? That it's going to be worse, not better. There's going to be less believers in churches instead of more. It is. But I'm not giving up. I'm not saying give up, okay? Just be a knowledgeable soldier. Okay, so that means if they're going to be harder to get, I'm going to have to work harder to get them. You understand that? So we've got to understand that the spiritual direction we take should be based on this book. That over in Joshua, you can go there if you'd like to, in Joshua chapter 1. We have a man that's put in charge of a people. And quite frankly, I don't know if I'd want to be in charge of these people. Just read their history. Okay. Now listen. Joshua's given some commandments, some direction from the Lord. He says in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That's the compass. There's a path to take. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Now, are we going in the right direction? Not according to what I think. The Bible says the way of man is not in himself, but according to what this book says. Do you know that sometimes this direction is not popular? Uh-oh. It's not politically correct? Yikes. You know what? I don't care. It's the book. You know, one of the most wonderful things as a principal of a Christian school is that I have a handbook. God bless the handbook. Because when I punish a student, I can say, I would let you off, but the book says I can't. I love it. Yes. Five tardies. You got a suspension day. I understand that your alarm clock, you know, got shut off by the power, or there was so much snow on the ground that you couldn't make it on time. I would be gracious to you because I'm just a nice guy, but the book says I can't. Huh? Well, let's put it in a serious sense. I don't care what the world says today. There are things that aren't right. I don't care if they're changing in this world. They don't change here. It's just true. The world says truth changes as man changes. God says truth doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. Sin is still sin. And the sins that were sins before are still sins today. They haven't changed. Now listen, that's my spiritual direction. My steps are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by His Word. I'm not going to turn from them to the right or to the left. I'm going to stay on the path that the compass takes me because it's my guide and my stay. God says we need to know where we're going. So what is it to you? It's my foundation. What is it to you? It's my compass. Let's look at one more. We might get two more in. We'll see. What is it to you? Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire? Saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, in Psalm 119:11, that I might not sin against thee. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Deuteronomy 17:19 says, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So what is the word of God to me? It's correction. It's correction. What did Paul say to Timothy? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Listen, I might be a smart guy, but I'm not smarter than this book. I might be a wise guy. Oh. But I'm not wiser than this book. I might be a knowledgeable guy, but I don't have more knowledge than this book has. I might be a righteous guy. I might be a good guy. But I'm not better than this book. It's my correction. You know what? I need to listen to the chastening hand of God. You know what happens when we listen to chastening and we listen to correction? We're blessed. We're made better. We're improved. Hey, don't you want to improve? Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to be a better believer than you were yesterday? Yeah. Hey, listen, being a Christian is not easy. Because we're fighting against something. Just go back and read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Then Paul just goes on and on about, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? Remember, I did that I would not, could that I did not, wouldn't that I won't, did that I do not, and all that stuff, yeah? Right? Yeah, because sin dwelleth with me. He called himself the chiefest of sinners. Do you think Paul, the apostle Paul, a great, great Christian, needed correction? Where did he get it from? Word of God. It's my correction. How are we living our lives? Are we living according to the Word of God or according to our own thoughts and desires? You know, our heart's going to deceive us. It's desperately wicked. Our flesh wants the things of the flesh. We need to follow the Word of God in its correction. Paul told his son in the faith that this scripture was profitable. It's profitable. In other words, it was a benefit to him in providing doctrine, reproof, and correction, and instruction in righteousness. So let me ask you a question. If we already know how to be right and live right and do right, then do we need instruction in righteousness? We wouldn't, would we? So guess what? All of you that believe that man is innately good, you're wrong. We're cursed. We're condemned already to hell. But for God and his salvation and that new creature in Christ, we wouldn't have any hope. We wouldn't have an opportunity. So guess what? This flesh that I live in craves the world. It craves sin. And guess what? It's good at it. Oh, it's really good at it. And so is yours. That's why the Bible says to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's why the Bible says to crucify the flesh. He says to put it down. Stomp on it. Kill it every day. Because we need to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. We need to walk not in the flesh and walk after the Spirit. See, the Bible is my spiritual correction. What does it mean? It's my correction. It keeps me on the path that I need to go. It keeps me doing the things I need to do. It keeps me living the life that I need to live. You know, how will I know how the flesh is trying to trick me unless I read about it, unless I figure it out? We're told in the scriptures that the fruit of the Spirit is one thing, and the works of the flesh are manifest as these other things. So I can discern between the two, and I can be righteous as God wants me to be righteous. I can be holy as God is holy, because of the Word of God. So what is it to me? It's my foundation. It's my compass. It's my correction. And then look at one more here that Paul says. By the way, I did neglect to tell you this. These words are linked to what Paul says here in 2 Timothy 3. All scriptures given by are given by God, inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. You know what doctrine is? It's our foundation. You know what reproof is? It's our compass. You know what correction is? It's our correction. You know, when you say reproof, you know what reproof is, right? Just someone say, this is wrong. That's what reproof is. Not necessarily that you are wrong, but that something is wrong. That's what reproof is. And that's a direction. That's a guidance. That's a compass. This is wrong. This is right. We understand. So then he says, for instruction in righteousness. So what is it to me? It's my measuring stick. You know what measuring sticks are for? Measuring things. That was deep. Whoa. Okay? No. What do all kids like to see? Yeah. We have one of those little calendars on our door. How many of you got one of those little, or not calendar, a little measuring thing? You know, it's a poster you put up on the door with the kids. All right. And what do they like to see? The little mark, right? And what year it was. And they like to see the next one. Now, unfortunately, in our house, the calendar only fits some of our kids. Well, I think all of them. Does it still fit you guys? You passed it already? Even you? Wow, that's amazing. Sorry, I had to make fun of my little baby son there. he's my midget. I tease him about that. Right? Yeah. And then I have Giant Man back there. He's past the chart a long time ago. I think he's taller than the door, you know, that's attached to him. That's all right. But listen, our measuring stick, you know, instruction is a measuring stick. It's a measuring stick. How much do you know? How much do you know? You know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You know what? I'm looking around at some Christians that have been saved a while. And I'll look at myself first. I was saved in the summer of 1985. It's a long time ago. No, really. To be saved, it's a long time ago. Anybody saved before 1985? One, two, three, four, five. Okay, good. All right. Amen. That's great. But you know what? Our measure ought to show that. Listen, I should know some of these things that you don't. Why? Just because I've been saved a longer time. That's good enough, isn't it? I mean, so we've got to understand that, hey, 35 years of salvation ought to show some merit of growth. Shouldn't it? Should show out some level of righteousness in my life. I ought to know better in some things and have a certain standard of living in some ways. I ought to be fruitful. I love fruit trees, and I'm a little sad because I'm just getting to the point now that the fruit trees I planted in Arlington are starting to become good fruit trees. I feel like tearing them all up and bringing them with me, but that won't be good for them. You know, it takes several years for them to get established to where they're getting regular and bearing fruit. Right? Yeah. But by the time they're 10, 15, 20 years old, they ought to be real good at it. And so should we. You see, our instruction and how we're growing is what God desires. We know 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But can I tell you something? Babies drink milk. Adults occasionally drink milk. All right? And listen, you should still desire the sincere milk of the word, but where's the meat? Okay? That's what I want. And we ought to desire that as we grow. Especially in Deuteronomy 4:10, especially the day of the Lord, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God, in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. So we're supposed to fear God, and we're supposed to teach our children to fear God. That's a measuring stick of instruction. You know, I tell my teachers, the best way to learn is to teach. You want to get closer to God's word? Teach it to somebody else. Yeah, give it away. Teach it to someone else. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Knowledge. We have the knowledge of it. God says that we are to have instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. Hey, I'm a Swiss Army knife guy. All right? I love Swiss Army knives. You know why? Because it can do lots of different things. In my mind, it's a complete knife. Right? It's something has many different tools. It's able to do many different things. And so should we. What is the Word of God to you? Is it your spiritual foundation? You say, yes, Brother Combs, it's my spiritual foundation. But I'm a little off my foundation. Oh, it's my compass and it's my guide to life. It points to direction of which way to go, but it's pointing over here and I'm walking this way. Or, I feel it. It's hurting a little bit back here, but I still want to do what I want to do. Or, well, let's see, I'm 35 years old. I should be about this tall, but I'm only about this tall. What is it to you? And this is not a chastening message of any sort. I hope it's an introspective message for all of us on any given day. But how about today? What is it to you?